Hello, boils and ghouls. It's your old pal, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And guess what, kiddies? You are now tuned in to PBD Horror Podcast. Pleasant screams.
Hey, what's going on? You're now tuned in to the PBD Horror Podcast. I'm Brandon. I'm joined by my co-host, Dave. On this episode, we have filmmakers James Rich and Zach Hirsch joining us to talk about their new film, Followers, which is set to premiere on Screenbox on March 12th. Guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
No problem. So how did you guys get into horror, and what are some of your favorite movies?
So I've been always interested in, like, creating things that, like, shock people. Like, I've always been really fascinated by, like, a visceral reaction. And when I was younger, my parents came home after seeing a movie, and it was Saw, the first Saw. And I remember, like, I had a feeling that they had been, like, through this crazy experience. Just, like, they'd gone to a film, and they'd seen something that had just shook them, and they talked about it all day. And I've always just wanted to emulate that experience. And then I saw Saw way too young, and it gave me a fascination with blood and gore, I guess.
So I had a growing up in like elementary and middle school, like a best friend. His name's Tanner. Shout out to Tanner. And my parents wouldn't let me watch horror movies, but every Friday after school, his mom would pick us up and take us to Blockbuster, because that was a thing still. And we would kind of just pick like any horror movie we wanted from the Blockbuster, and she would rent it for us. And a lot of times it was the Freddy Krueger movies. And so I would go like Friday night at his house, watch a Freddy Krueger movie, and then be like traumatized Saturday and Sunday at my house. Yeah, I think those movies like forever haunted me. I was always scared.
Ah, man. Yeah, those are some classic films right there. So now, can you guys tell us about Smaller Town Productions and how it got started?
So it kind of started as just this logo that I created for like these films that Zach and I made when we were in college. They were kind of these like weird horror short films that we would enter into local festivals. And we always kind of hoped that the name would sort of emulate a degree of modesty that we've always kind of approached our craft with. And it's just slowly kind of become this thing that we've stuck with for years. And now it's kind of our brand, and the logo's the front of the film. And we hope to make a number of films in the future with the same logo and the same brand.
Nice.
We're both from small towns. So clever play on words.
Yeah, it all worked out. So, yeah, definitely it's a cool logo, and definitely can't wait to check out any other films you guys have that's coming out soon. So this film was actually an official selection at the Chattanooga Film Festival. What was it like having your film showcase at this event?
You want to go?
Go ahead, Zach.
Oh no, it was an incredible experience. This one was like a hybrid, so it was like part online and part in theater. And so like on the online part, they had a really cool like Discord server set up, and we got to interact with the audience as they kind of watched and experienced the film, which was cool. And it was a very like horror driven audience. So all of their takes on the movie was really fun to like see.
And it was cool to see, like, because it was remote, there were audience members from all over the country, which was cool to kind of get a reaction from people that I'd never even heard of where they were from. And it was cool to have them react to the film and have, you know, opinions on it. It was very interesting.
So when they do that, like while the movie's playing, they're actively like commenting or asking you guys like, oh, what's going on here? Is that how it plays out? Almost like a live tweet or something?
Think so? Zach, you spent more time.
Yeah, it was kind of like both. Like some people would comment on it after they've seen it, and then like some people there's like a crazy stunt during the movie, and so there was a lot of comments on like how we were able to do that. Was a big question mark.
We actually just
sacrificed one of the PAs.
A lot of people probably don't get the opportunity to like hear or see people's reactions like what they're actually thinking live while they're watching something. That's actually a pretty cool concept if you think about it, just like live reactions.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's in a way like a digital theater experience kind of. We did a screening of this in a theater, followers in a theater, and it was really cool getting to see, like, it was our first film that I played in a theater, and like seeing people's reactions in real time, and like the communal screams, like kind of those marks, when, you know, you wanted people to scream when you're making movies. So like seeing that in real time, and people like shouting at the villains and being frustrated with character choices and stuff like that was cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. And also probably like really good for like learning too. Especially like when you're, if you're an indie filmmaker and you're continuing to like hone your craft, like getting to see like, oh, that hit or that one kind of like maybe didn't hit as well as I thought it was going to. So that's a pretty cool concept.
Yeah. It's funny with the theater screening, like not a lot of the people knew they were coming into like a horror movie. So that, like at the end of it, there was a lot of shocked audience members.
Can you guys give our listeners a brief synopsis of what Followers is all about?
Yeah. So Followers is a story of three young women who go on a camping trip into the woods, and they're pursued by a very malicious individual who wishes to do them harm and live stream it. And it's about them overcoming that event and the repercussions of that event, and how, you know, certain celebrities can be formed through positive and negative experiences. And ultimately, the story culminates in a lot of violence.
Yes, it does. And we would have it no other way. You know, Jim, I spoke off air about the theme with, you know, the common theme that I've seen in a number of your films, where they're like, a lot of them have to do with either traveling or being out in nature of some sort. And, you know, I just was hoping you could share kind of like that, your kind of rationale, because I, like I had told you before, I noticed there was at least three different films that you've created that all have to do with like being out in nature.
Yeah, it's I'd say the biggest reason would be my upbringing. I mean, I grew up in the middle of nowhere in northern Nevada, and so there was a lot of open kind of government land everywhere, which is where I really learned how to make films, because it was kind of this open land that you could ride horses out in or ride, you know, dirt bikes out in. And it was great because I could get very epic kind of wide Western shots for, you know, no money, just pointing my camera into the distance. And so I guess I've always kind of approached filmmaking and storytelling with that idea of like, let's go out to the woods to make it. Even though, you know, I guess maybe it'd be interesting to take that approach to, you know, New York City or something, but yeah, I guess I think my mind ultimately comes down to that, yeah, that basic yarn of, you know, the young person going out into the woods, which is the foundation of, you know, a lot of Western stories.
Yeah.
It's also a lot cheaper to film in the woods.
Into that.
Same.
True.
Now, you guys have been working on this project for a few years now. How does it feel to have your film releasing on Screenbox, and how did this opportunity happen?
We're both tremendously excited, and I think Screenbox just like is the perfect partner for this film. They, you know, they're always kind of like pushing the envelope with like horror and what they're releasing, and yeah, and so we couldn't be more stoked to have them as a partner. They've been really great to work with so far. Awesome. And that kind of came together after the Chattanooga Film Festival. I think that they were able to see it there. And then, yeah, just kind of went from there, and yeah, we're stoked to be working with them.
And it is incredible for it to finally be released after on the release date. It will be almost 2 years to the day from when we stopped shooting. So just finished and being released is an incredible feeling.
Definitely worked out. So for all our listeners, you know, if you don't have Screenbox, definitely subscribe. You can't beat it. It's a good deal. $6.99 a month. You can get all different types of horror, from slashers, classic, zombies, extreme, cult, underground, banned movies, and more. So definitely subscribe, and definitely check out Followers on March 12th. So,
yeah, it's so crazy. I don't think people sometimes understand how long it can actually take to get the ability to like get on a platform. Like movies can sit for long periods of time. I think that sometimes like viewers can lose sight of that, and like the work it actually takes and the patience it takes, right?
Yeah. Now when we write scripts, I'm like, do you want to work on this for the next 3 years? you really have to think about the long game, because it's not like a month long process.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, congratulations on that. That's obviously a big deal. And, you know, while I was watching this film, I try my best to like go in blind to films. And while I was watching this, I got, you know, the impression of there being influences from films like Wolf Creek and You're Next. And then like when I was reading a little bit about the film afterwards, you know, I found like I wasn't too far off, because You're Next was mentioned, which I mean, probably obviously because like the masks being the connection, but there's also like other elements of Your Next that were in there as well. So I was just curious if I could ask you guys, like, what do you feel like were some of the influences for the film other than those? And what do you feel like you did to bring like your own unique spin to this kind of film?
So one of the biggest influences that Zach and I kept referencing when we were filming was Michael Haneke's Funny Games, just because it's such a like intense experience, but also so kind of banal in a way. Like, it just, the violence just comes across as incredibly shocking, because it is what violence is, which is a shocking thing. And so what we tried to explore, though, was the idea of misogyny and voyeurism, which are two themes that are pretty prevalent in kind of classical slasher films. I mean, a lot of the classical slasher films were accused of being misogynistic. And so I guess to just take those two themes and explore them in the modern times, especially with kind of the modern, you know, hardcore fanaticism that exists in certain spaces on the internet, and how, you know, a hero and a villain could be seen as a subjective term in an experience like the opening of the film, ultimately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And a big, like the thing we tried to like add to the dynamic was the advent of social media. And essentially kind of playing like the what if game of like, if Jason had access to Instagram and was following like the people he was trying to kill. And so our main character is constantly sharing her life, which is, you know, perfect for someone who's trying to kill her.
Yeah.
That's the pitch. Jason Voorhees.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason has Instagram.
It really does highlight that, like, you, with the way that people use social media today, like, you never can really get off the grid. Like, they're always connected somehow. So like, it's, people are easy to find if they want to be found. So.
Yeah. And a big, I guess it's kind of a spoiler, but one of the things we wanted to do was like, never have the characters lose phone reception. Like, that's always kind of a cop out in movies where they're like, oh, I don't have any service. But this one, we just were like, they're going to keep their service.
Yeah.
Nah, that's cool. So you both actually starred in the film too. Was that always the plan from the beginning? How'd that happen?
I think that I obviously have a much bigger role than Jimmy's. I think to call me a star is more appropriate. You see my face.
Yeah.
No, but in the independent filmmaking, you kind of, if there's a need, you kind of fill it. And so I think I was also the stunt man and PA and so on and so forth. So yeah, we kind of just like, it's kind of how our style of filmmaking's always been. Just we write around our limitations, and then like if there's areas where we're needed, we fill it.
That's cool. And just making this film, you know, just looking at the cast and crew, but the main thing that stood out to me in this film was like just the setting, the house and everything like that. What was it like scouting for film locations and stuff? And like, how did you guys come about that house?
We started, we actually were looking in Big Bear, cause we were in LA at the time, and we wanted it to kind of have like they go to New Year's Eve, like at a cabin kind of getaway experience. And we went up, we actually had like booked the house in advance for the movie. And then we went up for the scout, and like driving there was like this treacherous road you had to go up. And we were like, that's like our first red flag. And then like getting the house, it just didn't really, it was a very weird vibe. There was like pit bulls running around and like little kids, and we didn't know where their parents were. It could have been like a horror movie unto itself. So we we both left that with like a very like not good feeling about shooting the movie there. And then we went home for Christmas actually. And I was at my wife's parents' house, and that's the house that we ended up using. And I just kind of like looked at it, and it was snowing at the time. And I was like, this is the house where it should go down. And so we actually like Jimmy came up to Auburn, and we rewrote like half of the script in the house based on like kind of like the new dynamic of the different rooms and the like stuff like that.
And I hand drew a map of the house, because we kind of had to, we made like a clue set almost with every character, because we kind of had to have like a logical, like if this character's in this room and this character's in this room, would they hear each other or would they be aware of each other's presence? So there was like a lot of like moving these little game pieces around of where each character was at each moment in the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted it to like feel like a maze.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that definitely comes across in the film, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now that Followers is going to be released, and, you know, you kind of joked around about, hey, what do you want to dedicate the next 3 years to creating? I want to ask you guys, like, what would be like a dream project for you guys to be able to work on? Let's say budget's not an issue.
Well, I mean, I've been working on a Western for a number of years that has been a dream project that I've been pursuing for a long time. And it's Westerns are tough, because I've always told Zach, like, we can convince people to be in our films, but getting a horse is a whole other litany of problems. And so that would be my dream role or my dream project. But then we have other things that are in the works.
Yeah, we're eyeing an ancient epic.
Nice. Now, can you guys share any info on any upcoming projects, and can you tell listeners where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, we have an upcoming, it's kind of under on the DL right now, but in post-production, like a rafting survival film. Mm-hmm. And that should be out in like a year.
Is there going to be some horror elements in that, or is it strictly survival?
No, there's definitely some thriller elements. You can't take the horror out of Jimmy.
A lot of leash in that genre. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm unfortunately not starring in it though. So.
Oh no.
Oh man.
I have a cameo.
We both have cameos. Yeah. And then on Instagram, and I'm Rich, and on Twitter I'm Rich as well. It's I'm Rich with a bunch of H's.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we post all our company stuff on at Smaller Town Productions.
Or it's just at Smaller Town on Instagram.
All right. I hope your cameo is like the raft is like going down and you guys are just on the
No!
Oh my God.
In a way. A lot of bearing on the story.
All right. Guys, thank you for coming on. And for everyone listening, Followers premieres on Screenbox on March 12th. You don't want to miss it. For everybody listening, we'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, take it easy.
Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Game over.